And there's a lot of stuff that need to be done here. Ah, do you want to be a part of what God is doing?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, you can't stay in this local ministry, not because we all that or anything like that, but you can't stay here and not be blessed.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And if you won't change your mess, hallelujah, you're going to have some issues to deal with. You can't stay here without getting blessed. And sometimes, and when time permits, we'll let some of the people that's been here a while tell you how they've been blessed. Cause they come. Has anybody here been blessed?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We're getting ready to enter into a season of increase.
Amen.
A season of increase. That's why I mentioned a little bit earlier. Listen, if God is directing you to receive increase, don't run away from it. Amen? Don't get in your head and try to figure what if and what if. No. Follow the peace. Amen?
Amen?
God wants to bless you. Look at somebody and tell them God wants to bless you.
God wants to bless you.
Hallelujah. This morning, we just want to start a short series on the spirit of increase this morning. I want to talk a little bit about the land of more and more. Hallelujah. Sister Eva called it a land of more than enough. But what God wants to do is just put you on a path of more
and more.
More and more. Everybody say those three words. More and more. Come on, you can say it louder than that. More and more. Not so that because we're greedy. Listen, God's got a lot to do in this city. Who's he going to do it through? The millionaires, the rich folks? Come on, God don't care nothing about that. Listen, he want to put stuff in the hands of people that love him, people that have a relationship with him, people that are part of the kingdom. And that means you. That means you. Whatever your lifestyle has been, you might as well say goodbye to it. Because you're about to enter into a season, hallelujah, of more and more, if you follow God's will. Amen. God's never gonna make you sit down and try to figure out what he's doing. He's going to always make it plain. He's going to always put it right in front of you. But you're going to just have to follow your peace to receive it. You start arguing about it, listen, you're just not going to have it. Is that God punishing you? No, that's not God punishing you. That's just you missing it. Hello? That's just you missing it. That's just you missing it. Hallelujah. If I put $10,000 in a green envelope in your mailbox and you go to your mailbox, you say, oh, green envelope. I ain't never got no green envelope before. That might be somebody putting some poison in there. I ain't opening that. Well, you're just going to miss it. Amen? Just because it's coming in a different way, a way that you never thought about, don't mean it's not God.
Amen. Come on.
Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I'm telling you what I know now. I'm not guessing anything, not trying to hype anybody, not trying to get anything from you, because this ministry has been here for 30 years. We ain't asking for nothing. Whatever you gave from the heart. You gave because God directed you for that.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
You ain't never heard nobody up here begging for no money. Everybody say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Not necessarily because we got all that, but because we know who we serve.
Amen.
And we know why we're here. Anything we need, God's going to provide.
Amen.
Now, whether he provided through us or whether he provided through an outside means, if we need it, he's going to provide it. So there's no need to beg. Amen?
Amen?
Not at all. The land of more than enough. Let me tell you something. This is going to be your last day without an increase in your life.
Amen.
The last day. Now I'm talking to saved folks now. I'm talking to folks that want to do God's will. And if you ain't saved and you ain't living for the Lord, God ain't putting a dime extra in your hand.
Amen.
Are you with me now? I'm not saying you won't have anything. But you won't have the type of blessing I'm talking about here today. If you're the type of person where you just can't follow God's will in his way in his life, Hey, I'm not referring to you today. But you know, the good news is you can jump on board. You can jump on board. You can give your life to Jesus. Too many times people say, well, if I give my life to Jesus, I won't be able to do this, or I won't be able to do that. You're absolutely right. You won't be able to do any of the devil mess because you won't want to do it. You won't want to do it. Something changes inside you. You become a whole new person. Not because you're all that holy or nothing. Jesus does the work. He just changed it. He just changed it. We need to learn from the example that Jesus and the Old Testament prophet left for us. You know, whenever Jesus and those prophets had an encounter with a person that had lack in their lives, they never left those people that way. When they left, listen, those people were a lot better off. Amen. They had a lot more than they started with. As a matter of fact, they always left them in a better position than they were before they encountered them. They always did that because God is about increase. God is about more and more. I want to give you our theme verse today. And you need to write it down, highlight it, do whatever you need to do to memorize it and meditate on it. Just a little short scripture out of Psalms 115. Psalms 115 verse 14 says, the Lord shall increase you what? More and more. And then he said, not only you, but you and your children. Hallelujah. Your children be wondering why, how I'm getting blessed like that. I may not even be living right. Yeah, but you're connected. Amen. You're connected. God says, he says he'll increase you more and more, you and your children. Hallelujah. You know, we need to speak this verse into somebody's life. Increase season has started, folks, for us. I'm not talking about everybody, for us. I don't know what God is saying to everybody, but for us. For us. You need to tell somebody. They have an increase over there. You better go on and get in some of that. Increase. Increase. Now, with that increase comes an obligation. You've got to live. You've got to live according to the way that God wants you to live. That devil is so sneaky now. Let me tell you something. God won't punish you, but if you open that door, the devil will come right on in and have you doing things that you never thought you would do before. Let's just break that down. I'm just look at this one verse. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. First of all, it says the Lord shall. Not a certain preacher, not a certain deacon, not a certain minister. The Lord shall. You see, God and money are not opposite forces. They're not. Sometimes people think, well, I can either have God or I can have money. No, you can have both. You can have both if you can handle it. Amen. If you can handle it. Everybody can't handle it. Some people get a little bit of money in their hands, then they jump right on over there on the devil's side. Because they got a little bit of money, they think they can do it and get away with it. No, you can't do nothing and get away with it. For every act of disobedience, that's just the way it works. It's the way it's set up. Let me take it to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth. Not your intellect, not your degrees or any stuff like that. It's God. Why? That he may establish his covenant, which he sweared, my thing had a little blotch on it. I was trying to figure out what that was. Which he swearing to your fathers as it is this day. It's God that gives us the strength to do these things and the power to do these things. Why? Because God has a plan. I told you over 30-some years ago, God told me the next major place that the next major revival in America is going to start in a place called Ahoskie. Now, why would God start a major revival in Ahoskie for the United States? I said, God, I can think of a lot of different places. But I can hear him come back and say, well, that's just how you think. You don't think like I think. That's right. Amen? Amen? It's going to start in a place called Ahoskie. Hallelujah. Let me listen, just a very, I don't know if you even thought about that. What would happen when, not if, but when the next major revival in Ahoskie start, how that's going to change Ahoskie. God said, listen, when the next major revival starts here, people are going to be flocking from everywhere. God said, listen, they're going to have to sleep somewhere. And I'm going to put that in your hands. Come on now. They're going to have to eat somewhere. And I'm going to put that in your hands. They're going to have to buy clothes. They're going to have to buy other provision. And I want to put these things in your hand. I want to put it in your hands. I want to give you an increase so that you will be ready. You will be ready. You'll be ready. Hallelujah. I don't know what God is telling you personally, but you need to listen to God. I don't care what your background is. Hallelujah. God is not limited by our background. He's not. When that revival started, let me tell you something. This place is not going to be the same again. Ever, ever, ever again. And God says, listen, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God has raised up a place called the Hoskins Christian Center just to announce it. Amen. Everybody's not going to hear what I'm saying, but you're hearing it. Amen. That means you're part of whatever God is doing. That thing's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And no use sitting back and say, God, I can't do that. I die. And God's answer for you always going to be the same. No, you can't. But I can. If you let me. If you let me. In the next 12, 14 months, you're going to see people coming into a hospital. Hello, Boshita. In the next 6 months. You're going to see people coming into a hospital. Even some of them you've known from other situations. You know, maybe they moved out. Maybe they're coming back, whatever. But you're going to see it. And all that is God preparing the stage. Preparing the stage for this revival. You say, well, why God, why here? Why does God want to do the revival? Anyway, listen to me. Because you and I are living in the last days and God wants people saved. Amen. Are you with me? God's not trying to fill up no church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You want to fill up a church? Go buy you about 10 cases of rum or some other kind of whiskey and say free whiskey. See how quick this place fill up. You ain't even got to do the alcohol thing. All you got to say is free chicken. And see how quick this place fills up. God's not interested in that. God's interested in souls being snatched away from the jaws of the devil. Amen. That's what he's interested in. Yes. But revival's coming. That means change. And God is trying to position us for that change. Amen. And when we get into position, increase is going to follow. Amen. Some of you within the next 2 months are going to experience an increase. Just enjoy it. But when he comes, don't forget to ask God, what do you want me to do with this increase? Don't run out there buying up everything. Proverbs chapter 13, talking about the Lord's shell. Proverbs 13:22. God says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, that's his grandchildren, and the wealth of the sinner, I like that part, is laid up for who? The just, for us. There's some folks out there that have made some money, crooked money. That money going to just switch over to us. It's just a matter of time. Amen. The Lord shall. That's what he said. And God's going to do it. Amen? Amen. And then the next part of that scripture says, the Lord shall do what? Increase you what? More and more. I looked up that word increase and got all kinds of meaning. One word meaning is add to. Means argument. Not argument, but augment. It means to boost something. It means to amplify. It means to enlarge. It means to raise. It means to swell. It means to enhance. It means to multiply. And it also means to improve. How many of you want your financial status to improve? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You know I feel like dancing. Hallelujah. 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 God don't want to increase us so that we can have our nose stuffed up in the air and looking down at people. That's not his purpose. Hallelujah. Increase is about a mindset. It's not just about money. You must take ownership of that verse that I read for it to really, really impact your life. That's what I'm saying. Memorize that thing. God wants to increase you. And we're entering into that season of increase. Some of you will get a pay raise. Some of you will get income into your lives, come on now, that you never expected. If you're running a business, some of you will get increased business, whatever it is. Some of you, listen, all of a sudden you're going to find out that you're entitled to certain money that you haven't been getting. And that's going to just open up to you. Hallelujah. Some of you in business just going to get more customers come from who knows where. God can do it any kind of way he wants. I want you to start believing God to bring increase into your life daily. 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 God's a good God, folks. That verse says, and more. Everybody say, and more. Hallelujah. See, most of the time people get what we call more than they had before, and then their faith just stops. Well, I got more, so I'm just stop believing. Let me see. More is not a stopping place for you and I. It's not that we've got to have a lot of material stuff. It's just that God's got a lot to do, and he's got to put it through somebody's hands. Why not yours? Why not yours? Why not? You heard me say before, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Amen. Not because I'm all that smart or all that rich, but I've learned, hallelujah, that my God is a God of increase. Amen. And when I need it, he brings it. Hallelujah. God wants you to live in the land of more and more. Everybody say more and more. You're not greedy when you say that. God's got a lot of work to be done. And it takes, in our culture, it takes finances to get it done. But finances have never been a problem for God. You see, the tribe of Israel, they just settle for what we call more when they settle in their wilderness. God was trying to bless them from the get-go. But they didn't receive it. Let me take you into that scripture. You know, I got a lot of scripture for you because it's the word. Numbers chapter 13. And I'm going to start at verse 26 and read about 6 or 7 verses. And this is a story about how Moses had sent out the spies to spy out the land. And they came back with a report. And this is what it says. And they went and they came to Moses, talking about the folks that went out and came back with the report. And they came to Moses and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and to all the congregation. And look at this next part. And they showed them the fruit of the land. I believe they were bringing back so much stuff. Blow your mind. Amen. And they told them and said, this is what they said. This is their testimony. They said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely, everybody say surely. And surely it flowed with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They displayed all the fruit that they brought back. And otherwise they're saying, yeah, just like God said, they got plenty over there. And God wants to give it to us. But nevertheless, the people over there, they be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities got walls all around it and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites, dwell in the land of the south, in the Hittites, in the Jebusites, in the Amorites. They dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now look at verse 30. See, Caleb was brave. You've got to be brave to receive what it is God's got for you. You can't be sitting around and say, I can't do that. Yes, you can do that. God can do it through you. Whatever God tells you to do, you can get it done. You can get it done. You can get it done with no problem at all. Now look at Caleb in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. In other words, he said, oh, slow down. And he said, all right, let us go up at once and possess this land. For we are well able, hey, I like that word, well able, because you and I are well able to accomplish whatever it is that God is calling us to accomplish. Hallelujah. He said, we are well able to overcome it. Any kind of problems in the land, we can do it. Oh, I wish people would rise up and believe God. I wish they'd stop depending upon their own strength, their own might. Some folks say, I love to serve God, but I can't stop doing this. You don't have to stop doing this. All you got to do is tell God to take it away, and God will take it away. Amen. But sometimes folks don't want God to take it away because they enjoy it. They enjoy whatever the devil has brought to them. Amen? Nobody's stupid. Everybody knows, listen, what's of God and what's of the devil. We all know. We all know. We're not crazy. Amen? Caleb say, we well able to handle this. But, everybody say but. See, there's always a but in the midst of that. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched into the children of Israel. And this is what they said. They said, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the people that live there. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great statures. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which comes of the giants. And we were in our own sight, in our own sight, don't miss this, in our own sight, we were just like grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. See, it's not, we get to seeing ourselves and say, well, God said, go this way, but God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't have enough education. I don't have enough finance. I don't have enough influence. Hallelujah. How quickly we forget how God sent Moses into Egypt to deliver over 2 million people by himself, him and his brother. We forget that. And you think God can't use you? He's just waiting for you. Listen, he's just waiting for you to tell the devil to get out your ear, amen, to go somewhere else. Amen. See, for these Jews, the wilderness was a land of just enough. Yeah, they got fed in the wilderness. Yeah, they slept in the wilderness, but it was just enough. See, when you use the word more, more is better than just enough. More is better than not enough. And the word and more is best. That's why we say God's going to increase us more and more, which means he's never going to stop. He's never going to stop. And I can tell you, listen, my testimony, I believe he's never going to stop increasing me till I take my last breath. And then whatever I leave here, folk can have it. Are you with me? You want some of whatever I leave, you can have some too. Are you with me? But until I die, he's going to increase me more and more. I believe that. Can't you believe that today? God's got a lot to do in this city. He's got a lot to do here, and he's got to do it through somebody. Amen? Won't you just rise up inside yourself and say, God, use me, please. Use me, please. Amen? God wants us to live in the land of increase. You see, there's two levels of knowledge, or knowing, rather. First of all, there's an intellectual or conscious level. That's when we get in and try to reason in our mind. Then there's a heart or the unconscious level. You see, things actually happen when we operate from the heart or the unconscious level. You can't reason this thing out. You just can't figure it out. You can't. We go from the conscious level to the unconscious level through repetition, through feeding that word over and over and over. And God tells us what happens to us when that word gets into us like that. Let me take you to Psalms 1. This is real, folks. I don't know about you, but I want all that God's got for me. Amen. Listen, I want God to use me to the maximum. To the maximum. To the maximum. Are you with me? To the maximum. Sometimes the devil tries to bring sickness. I tell the devil, I ain't got time for this. And he goes away. Anything we receive, come on, it's going to be on us for a while. Psalms 1:1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Well, then who gets blessed? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, here's the key to this thing, folks. And in his law, does he meditate how often? Means that word is constantly in you until you start walking in it, until you start living in it. You can sit here in the midst of a worship service and say, I enjoy that message. But if that message don't get in you, it won't do you any good. It won't do you any good at all. And then the psalmist go on and say, if a person get to that place where that word is in them, it said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever, anything he do, anything she does, will prosper. Hallelujah. Don't you want God to be talking about you? That's increase, folks. We're entering into that season of increase. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. You see, when something gets locked into the unconscious mind, we begin to walk by faith. That's why the word of God said, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We want to go to church. Yeah, we want to go to church. Come on. Yeah, we want to hear a message by whoever. Amen. But we don't want to take time to get that word in us. Even Popeye knew that he was no good without that spinach. Listen, Brutus would go against him, and he look, first thing he run, say, all right, I see you, Brutus, but you wait right here. And he would go into the cabinet, and what would he get?
Spinach.
Get the spinach. See, a lot of us try to go up against the devil without that word in us. I'm talking about in you. In you. Like the ABCs is in you. You can't even forget that. We try to go against the devil without that word being in us. And then he defeats us. And then we say, oh, this stuff don't work. Yeah, it works. You got to work it. God is a good God all the time. Hallelujah. Faith will cause you to hold on. And fear will cause you to let go. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What pleases God? You and I being able and willing to do whatever he told us to do. That's what pleases God. And without that faith, you can't please God. I don't know about you, but listen, I'm tired of the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. I'm ready to enter into the world of the supernatural. I'm ready to let God use me and do whatever he want to do with me. And I know that if he wants to bring increase into our lives, there's a reason for that. He ain't bringing increase so we can have all the ice cream we want. He's not. He has a plan. He has a plan. And people say, well, I go to church. Listen, I told you before, the devil goes to church. Might be sitting here right now. Don't look around. Don't look around. Don't look around. He goes to church. But you think he's going to willingly do what God tells him to do? I don't think so. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that you belong in the land of more and more, then you'll never live it. You'll never live there. You just won't. You just won't. You'll only visit there and then not live. But God wants you to live there to the point where you can really say with all your heart, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Amen? Because you believe it. Not because you're looking at a bunch of money, but because you believe it. Believe it. I've never experienced God telling us to do anything that he did not provide the resources, most of the time supernaturally. And he's going to do the same thing for the rest of us. Increase is about being a blessing to other people. And then the third part of that verse, remember I said, and God shall increase you.
Amen.
More and more. You and who? Your children. You and your children. And I know you say, well, they don't even deserve it. God never add that on there if they deserved it. You don't understand the power that you have inside you. You don't understand that. Let's talk just briefly about that last part, you and your children. See, God thinks multi-generational. Amen?
Amen.
When you got saved, God wasn't just thinking about you. God was thinking about 3 and 4 generations after you. That's what he's thinking about. That's why I told you, you could, once you get saved, you could just stand up boldly and say to your children, oh yeah, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. I don't care what you got to go through. I don't care how long you're going to deal with the devil's mess. You're going to get saved. In just the fullness of time, watch that manifestation of that thing. See, our children need to be increased thinkers. They need to be that way. Psalm 78 tells us that. He says, Psalm 78 verse 1 says, listen, this is what it says. And don't ever get tired of the word, because it's the word.
Amen.
It's not what I think. It's not what the person next to you think. What is God saying? Psalm 78 verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, if we're telling our children about God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God puts children in our hands. Hallelujah. And one of the responsibilities that we have is, hallelujah, not only to live a godly life before them, but to tell them about God. Amen. God is a good God all the time. Verse 4 says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. See, we want to live any old kind of way, but then when our children get to acting foolish, first thing we say, oh, what's wrong with them? Well, you're wrong with them. Hello? Well, I ain't done nothing. Hallelujah. You're right. You didn't do nothing. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. Which not only live a godly life before them, but tell them, drill them about God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody don't want to hear this today. I know that. I understand that. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to who? Their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to who? Their children. Sister and brother, listen. We got a generation out there, young people. My God, my God, my God. They listen, any of them may rise up any day and blow each other's brains out. They done got so far away from God. Hallelujah. And we be trying to think about how ways we can reach out and touch them and bring them on in here. Hallelujah. I'm just not sure. God's going to have to tell us what to do to really tap into their lives. Hallelujah. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in who? God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 8, last verse, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We have a responsibility to transfer increase.
Amen.
And increase thinking to our children and our grandchildren. We need to transfer that way of thinking, which is based upon the existence of God and God's plan for our lives. Hallelujah. And then he talks about, in that one verse, he talks about the land of more and more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just trying to break this thing down for you. You see, to go from the land of lack and not having enough to the land of more and more, we must experience a transformation. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. Amen. This is not about you being a good church member somewhere. It is not. I don't know how many times I said that. It is not. You have to experience the transformation. If you're still doing some ungodly things on a regular basis that you did before you confessed salvation, chances are you may not have what you think you got. I don't know about nobody else, but I know the transformation that came in my life. You heard my story. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, Nick, you got to be born again. That's right. Amen. To see this kingdom. You got to be born again. Amen. And Romans 12 and 2 tell us the same thing. It says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't think that you can leave here on Sunday morning and just go out there and enjoy the devil's world and say, well, God will forgive me. Or yes, God may forgive you, but the devil won't forget it. He'll know that you belong to him. And in the fullness of time, if you don't get it right, listen to me now, the price that you're going to have to pay, you don't want to pay it. Amen. And don't run out here and say, the preacher should have told me, I told you. I don't know nothing else. I told you. This is not about me being popular. Amen. I don't need to be popular. But my heart says I need to see people saved. God needs to see people saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. And this just popped up in my heart. If somebody is unsaved, they may do anything. They may not be a bad person, but they may do anything because they're not in control. Are you with me? I say it, but whether or not you understand it is a whole different thing. When you're not saved, you may do anything. But when Jesus comes in and you get born again, hallelujah, you're a whole new creature. The devil has no control over you other than what you give him. And I don't know about you, but I'm not giving him a foothold. If I know it's not right, I'm staying away from it. Amen. I'm telling you, not because I'm all that, but I understand what the devil is trying to do to me. Mm-hmm. Amen? So now I look at him and I say, oh, no, you tricked me once. You got control of my life. You had me doing stupid stuff before. Amen? You had me doing stupid stuff before, but you ain't getting in here no more. And that's where we all need to be, and that's where we all need to stand. Amen? Romans 12, 2 said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That tells me, even if you give your life to Jesus Christ and you don't have the desire to do ungodly things, if you don't get that word in you, the transformation that you desire may not take place, or you may still be on your way to heaven. You may still have escaped hell, but you're going to have to pay some prices. Wake up, world. Wake up and decide whose side you're going to be on, God or the devil's. You can't live on both sides. No more than I could be married to two women living in the same house. I couldn't do it. Chances are they won't let me do it. Are you with me? I heard an amen on this corner over here. Your mind will become renewed when you allow the word of God to become part of your unconscious thinking. That means when you try to go wrong, that word will come back up. And you say, no, I'm not going to do that. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, this is Jesus talking. He said, listen to me, I'm going to give you a secret. If you abide in me and, everybody say and. And my word lives in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a powerful promise from God. You want more? He said, that's all you got to do. You live in me, you walk with me, and you let my word live inside you, you can ask for whatever it is you want. You want your children saved? Declare it. You want some more money? Declare it. Amen? You want understanding and wisdom? Declare it. Get that word. Bring that word up that promised you that thing. So we're almost finished here today. Transformation can begin with this one verse. This one verse, John 15, 17, would say, if my word abide in you, hallelujah, and you abide in me, you should ask whatever you want, and it'll be done for you. That's a powerful promise from God. Amen. So why are we doing without? Well, I ain't got time to get no word. Okay, then you do without. Well, I don't know. I don't know how that person have more than me. I go to church as much. Hey, Jesus didn't say anything about going to a worship service regularly. He does. The word does tell us to forsake not the gathering together of ourselves. God wants us to do this, but if that's all you got, you're not going to get what you want. Hallelujah. You need to say that verse out loud 10 times a day for 30 days. I challenge you to do that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, whatever it is you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Say that 10 times a day for 30 days. Just say it. Just get it in your heart. Have somebody hold you accountable for doing this. As we close here today, listen, I want you to please, please consider joining the journey to the land of more. More and more. I couldn't even get the word out. Listen, you know what God says? God said, as long as you keep living for the devil, you ain't gonna never have enough. I just heard that from God. Say, tell him. He said, as long as you keep living for the devil, you ain't going to never have enough. No matter how much come in, all of it's going out. Yes. Now, do we want to live that kind of life? No. You can if you want to. But that price that you have to pay is just foolish. Hallelujah. God's a good God all the time. Won't you join us in that journey to the land of more and more? Why don't you just stop doing things your way? And start by just getting saved if you're not saved. And you know if you're saved because you're not the person you used to be. You're not. Something has changed. Like a worm being transformed into a butterfly. Totally different creatures. Not the same. You can't expect a butterfly to do what a worm did. Because a butterfly flies high and a worm crawls on the ground. But that's the first step. Secondly, I want to remind you that God says this is the beginning of the season of increase. Amen. Be prepared for the increase. Be prepared. I'm just as happy as I can be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 There's some things that God wants to do. Great things in this city, because this is where we're at.
Amen.
Or wherever you live at. He wants to do some great things. And what has to happen is more, listen, if he's going to do it through the ministry, more has to come through to the ministry. And the only way more is going to come to the ministry is he's got to give you more.
Amen.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Won't we stand all over the building?
Yes, Lord.
I'm assuming that everybody is saved. Does anybody want to be saved? That's not saved, could just come on up here right now. Don't let the devil hold you back. Amen. Just say, I'm going to get mine and go for it.